Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, November the 6th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 153, the second paragraph, Our Hope Is That When, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only, and comments will be on that paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Becca R. and Jody E.Q., and the readers of the text are John K. and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Monday, November 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,142. That's 12142. And for Tuesday, today, November the 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,145. That's 12145. Okay, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Becca R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Becca.
All right. This is Becca R. in Bowling Green, Kentucky, recovered. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Becca. And I will now ask Jody E.Q. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E.Q., gratefully recovered in California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personality. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. My cat just got in the way. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 153, the second paragraph. Our hope is that when, and we'll be just reading that one paragraph, and comments will be on that paragraph. And I'm going to ask John Kay to get us started. John.
Thanks, Mo. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Our hope is that when this chip of a book is launched on the world tide of alcoholism, defeated drinkers will seize upon it to follow its suggestion. Many, we are sure, will rise to their feet and march on. They will approach still other sick ones, and fellowships of Alcoholics Anonymous may spring up in each city and hamlet, havens for those who must find a way out. I just love this paragraph. Whenever I read it, I just have this picture in my mind of these guys in an office early on, this tiny office, I'm sure, either the one in New York or in Newark, you know, so enthused because they have all tried their whole lives to stop and couldn't, and now they haven't, and, you know, what a miracle about that, you know. I don't always talk about a lot of my personal beliefs, but mainly because I don't want to turn off any newcomers, but, you know, I personally believe that the 12 steps were God's gift to the 20th century, you know. I tell newcomers, if you have trouble with that, it's okay. Think of it as the rowboat. I happen to think there's a thread up to a higher power. If you don't want that, okay, just believe in the rowboat, you know. But I defy anybody who knows the story of AA, that God was playing chess, you know. You take a guy who was getting help in Switzerland, you know, and to no avail with the second biggest psychiatrist in the world. He comes back to New York defeated. He meets a guy who's got this thing, the Oxford group. They start working together. He then goes up to Vermont, of all places, and it happens that his father's a judge, and he says, hey, maybe I can help some of these guys you're going to send away, and he helps this guy. Comes back down to New York, and his lifelong buddy, who's from the same damn town, he ends up helping him. And then that guy ends up on a business trip out in, and I always love the phrase, a western city. If Akron's western, what the heck is Los Angeles? But comes out there, and the two of them start working together. And the synergy of those two human beings, you know, I always said if Bill started the program himself, it would have been this great thing that would have expanded quickly and then flamed out. And then if Dr. Bob had started it, it would be a wonderful little program in Akron, Ohio, and it would have never gone any further. But the two of them together, And then they write this book, which is absolutely revolutionary in terms of recovery. I think I shared last week, I'm taking a program in drug and alcohol counseling, and one of the things that it talks about, and this is scientists say the first person who talked about addiction as a disease was Dr. William B. Silkworth in the AA Big Book. And it's true that not all of a sudden it's not a moral thing. We have a problem. It's a physical, it's emotional, psychological problem, and a spiritual problem at the bottom of it all. And I couldn't agree. And just the way this book is written, and I love one of my favorite pieces of literature, and they don't talk about it in OA very much, but it's an AA piece of literature, which means, of course, it's also approved OA. It's a thing called the Member's Eye View of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he writes, he sort of just explains the big to people who don't understand it. And he says the most revolutionary thing about this book is that to the people who had always had people shaking their finger at them saying, here's what you should do, they pick up this book and what they hear is, this is what we did. You know, the ultimate soft sell. If you want what we have, here's what you do. One last thing about OA is that, you know, I was really good friends with Rosanna, and she used to get up and say, oh, I used to say in the early days of OA that I thought someday OA would be bigger than AA, how arrogant I was. And I said to her, no, it really isn't. It's logical. Think of how many more compulsive eaters there are than alcoholics. It should have been. The trouble is AA doesn't have any competition, and we have so many easier, softer ways out there. Because we work through attraction and promotion, we have to deal with a billion-dollar industry. But I just thank God I went through that billion-dollar industry, and today I found this program. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, John Kay, for getting us started. I'll now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 153. Our hope is that when, and we'll be reading just that one paragraph only, and the comment will be on that paragraph. I'll take names of those who'd like to share.
Gina R.
Donna B.
Beatrice O. Minta
R.
Beatrice O.
I got Beatrice O. Who was after Beatrice?
Mindy R.
Mindy.
MJ.
MJ.
Claudia I.
Okay.
Julie E.B.
All right. We'll stop there. Thank you. I have Gina R., Donna, I missed your last initial, Beatrice O., Mindy R., MJ, Claudia I., and Julie E.B. Gina R., you get us started.
Thank you so much, Mo. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. The word hope just jumps out here, our hope. And when you look up hope, it's just a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And when I look at that definition, I see that word, expectation. And it's been drilled into me that expectation can equal a premeditated resentment. And that's what I stayed stuck on for so long. What I know now is that when my expectations actually line up with God's will, which is to live within my relationship ideal and have love and tolerance as my code, then expectations are perfectly fine. And it's appropriate for me to have a feeling of desire for a certain thing to happen. And so just to think that back then they had a hope that when this chip of a book was launched, it would do what it has done. I don't think they really, well, maybe some of them did, because I think some of them were so plugged into God and the creator that they probably had some sort of idea, but they may not have really been had the freedom to say it. And I love what John just said about, what in the heck is L.A. if Akron, Ohio is a Western city? Yeah, they were limited in scope, but they had this bold faith in this hope. And that's what I can pick up on today, and that's what I can transmit to people is, look, you don't have to figure it out anymore. It has been figured out for us. The instructions are here. All we have to do is be willing to set aside what we think we know, follow some simple instructions, and get the people around us to be our support system, and this deal will work. I am so grateful that I decided to pick this little chip of a book up after many, many years of thinking I had it, but I didn't apply it. And I'm grateful that these rooms are always open for us to come back. If you are on the lines and you have been bouncing around, or you're down in the food this morning and you just want to give this a try, get on that web list, avisionforyou.info, and give one of us a call or put your name out there as a newcomer. Get a sponsor, get a guide, get somebody to help you with this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. Donna, followed by Beatrice O. Donna? What is it, Donna W?
No, this is Donna B, as in boy, from Denver.
Thank you.
Sure. Recovered compulsive overeater. And the word that really jumped out at me is thieves. And it harkens me back to the part in the book where we talk about being saved from a sinking ship. And for me, the opportunity to work the steps with a recovered sponsor is like the metaphor of seizing the lifesaver, I think is the word. If I were drowning in the water and somebody threw a lifesaver out to me, I would certainly seize it. And I can, in my mind's eye, I can see myself just like holding on to that lifesaver for dear life. I asked my sponsor once, you know, why do you adhere to your food plan exactly as it's written? For a long time, I was in the room and I was abstaining from my alcohol and food, but I was still struggling with volume eating. And both for myself, and there were certainly plenty of other people that were validating for me. Well, how bad could it be? You're not eating sugar. You're not eating flour. Don't beat yourself up. A whole chuck roast is no big deal. A few pounds of fruit, no big deal. So my renaissance in this program right now is adhering to my food plan without exception. Not just in terms of what I eat, but how much I eat. And when I asked my sponsor, why do you adhere to your food plan exactly as it's written? And she told me it's life or death. And that's how I see to the food plan that's been given to me by a nutritionist, is that I have a disease that is one of life or death. And because of this chip of a book, I get to choose life. For that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna B. Beatrice O, followed by Mindy R. Beatrice. Press star one, Beatrice. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Beatrice. I'm from San Jose. I'm a recovering food addict. And what I globbed onto in this paragraph was many. I remember when I first got abstinent and I was going through that period of my honeymoon abstinence, which they call it, I was so on fire for the big book and the 12 steps, and I wanted to communicate to everybody that, you know, I found a solution. And, you know, they say that this program is by attraction versus promotion, and, you know, and I want to be a beacon for God. And so I just had a couple experiences when I first came into OA. I was newly abstinent, and there was a 500-pound janitor. I don't know his exact weight, but it was near 500 pounds, and he used to walk around picking up the trash, and he would lean on the garbage can that he used that had wheels, and he would be sweating and he could hardly walk. And so I was newly abstinent, and I approached him, and I got an OA pamphlet for the newcomer, and I took it to him, and I remember him saying, you know, I'm not ready for that. I would rather eat. And another example that I had, my mom was in a nursing home, and there was a gal there who was obese. She was she had diabetes, and she just had her toes amputated. And she started asking me if I could sneak in a candy bar. Anyway, so I just wanted to say I'm grateful for this program. It is a disease. I know that carrying the message is I think that God wants me to have my own house in order, and I can't give what I don't have. And then the last thing I'll say is I always joke about God's gave us the Ten Commandments, and then he gave us the 12 steps when he sent, when they came up with this big book. And Bill W. was an atheist at first, so I think God just specializes in miracles. That's his specialty. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Mindy R., followed by MJ.
Hi, good morning. My name is Mindy. I'm from outside of Philadelphia area. What I picked up today was hope also, and that I feel, I woke up today just feeling so hopeless, and I do know that this program, without a spiritual awakening and following these steps, I will not recover. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I guess the other thing that I wanted to say was...
What was that? What do you want to say? What was the other thing?
We don't want...
Go ahead, Mindy.
Oh, that was weird. So, I'm hopeless. That's what I wanted to say. So anyways, but I do have hope. And... I just had to laugh at that. Oh, that was higher power. So anyways, it got me laughing. So I have to go into work, so I'm going to quickly leave my phone number, 215-378-0145. If anybody would like to text me during the day, I can only take texts. Thank you for everyone being there. I do have hope. Thank you.
And thank you, Mindy R., MJ, followed by Claudia I. MJ?
Hi, everybody. I'm MJ from Arkansas, and I want to thank you all for letting me, as a newcomer, to not only the Vision for You, but also the program, just share what I'm going through, because it is indeed so miraculous that after 8 weeks of being in OA and working the steps and having a sponsor and listening to Vision for You, it is such a healing that I can't imagine not wanting to reach out. We live in a world full of the feelings of hopelessness, the feelings of depression, anxieties. I've had irrational fears. And all these things, one by one, are being melted away. And God is doing it. And I'm so excited, because I'm just new into the program. I'm not far into the steps, and yet these miraculous things are truly happening. And I want to show and tell and be that for others, because I don't want to you can't withhold. If I had the cure for cancer, I would definitely want to go share it with those who had cancer. And I think this is the cure for overeaters. And I just want to thank you all for being here and for this time and for my sponsor. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, MJ. Claudia I, followed by Julie E.B. Claudia?
Hi, Claudia, compulsive overeater and food addict. And I'm grateful to be here today. The thing I like about this paragraph is the part about taking this book, you know, and marching on and, you know, getting it out to other people. And when I came back to OA in January of this year, I did some intense step work and in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and began to see how I could put one day of abstinence together because my disease had gotten so bad during my relapse that I couldn't see my way clear to eating even one meal and getting to the next one correctly, you know. And I was so defeated and deflated. And so I was grateful for that. And I think for me, you know, taking this step work to other compulsive overeaters is what saves me, is working with other people on a consistent basis and doing the step work with them again. And that's how I'm staying abstinent today. And I just give all that credit to my higher power. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much. I think you said it was Claudia. I wasn't sure if it's Claudia or Claudia. Anyway, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 153, the second paragraph, Our Hope Is That When. And after Julie E.B., we will take more names. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God today in Colorado. I'm just really privileged to share on these most powerful words. This is a promise, you know, and I was brought through the big book in a way that I would look at the promises and instructions and warnings and, you know, and the prayers, and this is such a promise. The very fact that I would have hope, there was a time I had no hope, and I was just laying bedbound, 300 pounds, six specialists, constantly in pain, and one step at a time, my higher power taught me how to not only let go of the food, but also let go of the behavior that kept me so isolated. So I think this hope has come true. It's been launched, and we have seized upon it and follow its suggestions, and some will rise their feet. I feel like I'm rising to my feet and marching on and hoping to approach still sick ones, you know, putting my name out there as a sponsor yet again, and hearing sponsees put their name out there. It's just amazing. And that this can spring up in every city and hamlet. I know here in Colorado Springs, you know, just going to my meeting tonight and sharing experience, strength, and hope. There is a haven. And I love the share from the earlier morning meeting about a haven, a safe place. I didn't have a safe place growing up. I tried to create a safe place through achievement and my own efforts. I tried to create a safe place through the food. And I tried to create a safe place by looking to other people, places, and things to fill me up. Now my safe place is that my higher power sees me and just loves me. And I say to that higher power, I'm yours and I trust you. And that's where it starts. And life now moves from the inside out instead of just being buffeted around unsafe on the outside. I love to talk about the care and protection prayer right there before the steps in the big book. We ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon, full, not of the food. Complete means full, not of the food, and full, not of self-will, but full of abandon, giving up. So if you have given up, you are in exactly the right place. Call, reach out, get a sponsor, get into this book. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B., and I'll now open the lines up for more who'd like to share.
Kelly N.
That's you.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
That's you.
Pardon?
That's you.
I'm not getting that name. I'm sorry.
Greg B.
Greg B.
Vasa E.
Vasa E. Oh, Beth U. I got you, Beth.
Thank
okay.
you, ma'am.
Sorry. I'll put you in there, number two, Beth, because that's when you came in. All right.
Okay.
I have Kelly N., Beth U., Sherry KB, Jordan L., Greg B., and I think it's Vasa E. And we'll go
Marissa
with that, right?
E.
Marissa E. All right. If we have time, Marissa.
Okay.
All right. Kelly N., followed by Beth U.
Thank you. Kelly N., compulsive overeater. Very grateful for this paragraph. Been, you know, fighting the food since I was 8 years old, and I'm many decades older than that. And when I first came to OA, I didn't know about the book. And when I was introduced to it, I grabbed onto it like, you know, the drowning seizes a life preserver. It just made so much sense to me. And finally, like people understood what I had and were offering me life. Just incredible. It just awakened in me hope, you know, like I could really stop binging every day and have a life. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I remember my sponsor saying, "Are you willing to give this away?" when she first started working with me in the book. And, you know, I was like, I don't know what that means, but yes. And so at 30 days of abstinence, I started working with others. I didn't know what it was other than help somebody with what was given to me. And I did it, and so grateful for what it has awakened in me, a heart that loves others and wants to help, just help by sharing what they're talking about in this book, you know, share what my experience is. You know, the last thing is this haven word just took me this morning, that place of safety that I could go. I'll never forget hearing people talk about what they did with food, and I had never breathed a word of it. And to hear that and relate was like, they got me. I did say I must have this thing. And but it's a daily do, because I have also stepped off these steps. And staying on the steps with regularity, with God, with you guys, you know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And am amazingly grateful to the founders of this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kellyanne. And Beth U., followed by Sherry KB. Beth?
Hi, this is Beth U. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hello, I'm Beth U. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Central Colorado. This is my first time sharing on the line. I just wanted to share a little bit about these paragraphs and how it relates to my experience recently. Defeated drinkers will seize upon it to follow its suggestions, and many, we are sure, will rise to their feet and march on. I started studying the Big Book exclusively 3.5 months ago with a sponsor, and it's like the first time I've ever seen this book. I just celebrated 7 years in program in the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, but this being introduced to this book, it's like it's brand new, working it in this way, and I'm so grateful for that. And I have a lot of hope now, and wanting to share this experience with others. I worked through the first 12 steps in the program, and it took me 3.5 years. And I think that's God's little funny for me, is that it took 3.5 years the first time, and now working through the big book took 3.5 months. I had recovery in Overeaters Anonymous in the rooms. I lost 150 pounds working this program. But what was missing was I was in and out of abstinence constantly in those first 6.5 years because I didn't understand the concept of entire abstinence, and I did not have a spiritual experience like I have now after working these steps. So I wanted to share that, and then also the part about, creating havens in every city. I just wanted to share, I'm from a very small town in Colorado, and the only face-to-face meeting, the closest to me is about 25 minutes away. And I recently had to leave that face-to-face meeting, which is the reason why I was introduced to Vision for You, because I started a job where I have to go into the office every day, and that meeting was during the day. So thank you, God. I let go of the fear of leaving that face-to-face meeting, and now I'm introduced to these meetings where I'm on meetings 6 days a week and, again, working with a sponsor. But I have been inspired and to work with others, and so now I'm going to start a meeting that's near my little town in Colorado that I think will also be accessible to folks in Colorado Springs. And I'd like it to be a big book study similar to what we do on the line here today. So I just wanted to share that that's what my recovery has brought me, not only entire abstinence, sanity, and a life of usefulness, but now I'm working with others and hoping to share this message that without pass.
Thank you, Beth U. Sherry KB, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Ma. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. And I love this paragraph, the hope that we get from this little chip of a book. Interesting they use the word chip, because what an incredible book this has been, and it's launched on the worldwide tide of compulsive overeating. That people will seize upon it, that compulsive overeaters will seize upon it, following its suggestions, not my suggestions, but its suggestions, not the Sherry Show book, but it's the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that is surely to help anyone, including me, rise to my feet and march on, you know, that I can get recovered. That's a very powerful, divinely inspired, amazing thing to be said here, that if I follow the directions in this book, that I will get off my feet and I will march on. I'll get as the disease. With the help of this book and my higher power, a way for me to connect to my higher power. How powerful is that? You know, people have mentioned today about the haven, and what also it says here is that it's a place of not only safety but rescue. So I'm going to get rescued from this disease because it's a cunning, baffling, powerful disease, and it's a way for me to find a way out, and so can you. And the interesting part is that this book was originally going to be called A Way Out, but they found out that in 1939 that there were some other books called A Way Out. And so here's this little chip of a book, but it's really the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that can follow the directions in this beautiful book and find a way out to connect with a power greater than myself, because I know that no human aid can relieve me of this disease, and it's finding this wonderful connection with a power greater than myself that I can live in the world free from compulsive overeating, live in neutrality, safe and protected, rescued from my disease, and be able to pass it on to others. And that's the only way I get to keep this, is when I pass it on to others, when I work with others, following the directions in this book, not Sherry's directions, but following the directions in this book. And so can you, and that's the whole purpose. My purpose is to be of maximum service to the people about me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Jordan L., followed by Greg B. Jordan.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
10, Jordan.
My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Super grateful to be on the line this morning. So the part of this paragraph that stood out to me was that last part. For those who must find a way out, and I just love this line, man. I love listening to all of you guys, you know, talk about the hope that that is offered within your own stories and all these pleas to newcomers to to reach out and grab a hold of this thing and run with it, you know. It's just a beautiful thing. Almost as beautiful as like the first 100 writing this book and then like not using it as a way to make money as the original plan was. Because who knows how that would have changed things, you know? Who knows how different this program would be. Maybe we'd all be getting paid. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was a bad joke. But anyway, what I'm getting at, this way out, right? When I read those words, what comes to mind is a paragraph from Bill's story. And this is what I found a way out of. It says, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity, quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. In my big book, I have alcohol crossed out. I wrote in food. Food was my master. I was done for, man. I had no hope. I had none of the wonderful things that are talked about on this line. And that's the good news about all of this, is that you don't need hope to commence this. What you need is actually the opposite. Like, that's what I needed, was the bitter morass of self-pity and the quicksand and the being overwhelmed. Like, that was my start in this program. That's the start of it all, you know? And there's just not a lot of, there's not a lot of ways out of that. So to have found one here and to see it working and to get to be a part of it, God, I'm just really grateful for that. That is definitely not what I was saying when I got here. I was not grateful to be a part of Overeaters Anonymous at all. Anyway, I suppose that's evidence of the psychic change, is how differently I feel about all of this now. So anyway, again, thank you for your service, Mo, and everyone else. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan. Greg B., followed by Marissa E. Greg?
Hi, this is Greg B. in California. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Thank you for your service. Thank you, John, for kicking us off. I'm Greg B., recovered alcoholic, compulsive eater, food addict in the traffic-congested world of Silicon Valley. Hey, so I'm glad to be here, happy to be here. It seems incredible that these men are happy, respectful, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and helplessness? You know, then there's this grandiose language of, our hope is when this ship of the book is launched and the world tide of alcoholism, defeated drinkers will seize upon it. So what it makes me think about is, when I first got sober, when I first got into OA, I did the same thing about 12 years ago or 11 years ago when I went into OA. I wanted to tell everybody about it. I wanted to tell everybody to come to a meeting. You know, I went out to the world. And what's beautiful these days is, if you want to carry the message, first of all, you got to do it yourself. You know, it's a self-prescribed, and also you got to take your own medicine. you know, we've all seen doctors. When I was a kid, I had a doctor who had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. He would tell me not to smoke when I went through my smoking phase. He'd say, read that package of cigarettes, you know, but he had a package of cigarettes in his pocket. So me just talking about it, I'm a compulsive eater. You know, me, I'm a, you know, a morbidly obese person. Less, you know, now I'm just obese, but I'm a morbidly obese person. And the thing is, you know, me telling everybody what to do, you know, they could see, well, you know, that's great, but, you know, what are you doing about it? So what I do about it is they see me eating a structured meal and, you know, day in, day out, you know, bringing my own food or whatever it is I do, going to meetings on a regular basis. That's the action that they see, you know, working with others. But if I just tell people what to do, you know, I'm a great project manager, but you got to manage my own projects. That's the key. That's where I get the experience, strength, and hope. I remember coming into AA, and people with 20 years experience are miserable and glum, and, yeah, well, Sonny, you got to do this and that. You know, that's not going to attract anybody in the program, you know, because the goal of the program is not to be abstinent. That's a great side effect, but the goal is to be happy and to not be hopeless anymore, you know, to rid yourself of this state of hopelessness. That's the goal of the program. And so if I want to be happy, joyous, and free, and work, I've got to work the steps, I've got to get a sponsor, I've got to be honest, and I've got to do this stuff in my life. And I want to be happy. That's the goal, not to, you know, have financial freedom or, you know, to have a perfect life or anything like that. The goal is to be hopeful. And there's no place I'm more hopeful than, you know, way and working with others and others working with me, because I have to be a daily beginner and be taught by the people that come in their rooms. So what I'm saying is, I kind of wandered off there, but what I'm saying is there's plenty of people to work with right inside the rooms. And if you, you know, and the people that you don't see anymore, those are the people to call. And the people that you saw at your first meeting and you never seen them again, those are the people to call, in my opinion. Those are the ones to reach out to. And do we all take pictures of the phone list and go through the phone list? And this group is fantastic at phone calls, by the way. And that's where we can work. I don't have to go to a hospital. That if the opportunity comes up, that's great. Awesome.
Okay.
But there's plenty, thank you, there's plenty of work to be done right inside the rooms of OA, and this is the group to do it. So I'm Greg, California, and thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you, Greg. Marissa E., we got time.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Marissa E., a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. I just wanted to reflect on the line, defeated drinkers will seize upon it to follow its suggestions. And I remember early on in my entire abstinence, you know, in the doctor's opinion, there's two suggestions that really stand out the first couple pages. And it talks about like, oh, you know, we should be separated from alcohol via hospitalization. And then it says too, you know, our only suggestion of relief is entire abstinence. And I remember, you know, when I first put the food down, I had this list of, I guess I could say they're like gateway ingredients. And one of them is alcohol, right? So I don't drink like an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. And at the same time, when I do drink alcohol, I cannot guarantee that I will not pick up the food. And I remember I was going through that chapter with my guide, and that weekend, that Friday, I had happy hour with some coworkers. And I was honestly thinking, right before reading the chapter, like, oh, like I can have one. And then, you know, I'm studying the doctor's opinion, I'm writing answers, and I'm going over it. And it was, you know, it was so obvious. It was like, no, right? The only suggestion for relief is entire abstinence. And you know what? I went to happy hour and I drank my water and I was present with my coworkers. And honestly, because I'm following the directions and the suggestions, because I am defeated, and because my higher power has given me the willingness, it wasn't even a big deal. And so I'm just really, really grateful for the suggestions, right? For the willingness to follow them. And then, you know, for the lessons learned, right? I don't have to have those gateway ingredients to have a good time. And I feel better, you know, when I am entirely abstinent. And so, I'm really, really thankful for that. And that's it. Thanks, Mo.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I want to thank everyone who participated in the meeting this morning, and for those that were gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Sherry KB please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.